This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'firu wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min siyati amalina min yahdihi allahu falamudillala wa min yudlilu falahadiyala wa ashadu allah ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashadu anna siyidina wa nabiyyina maulana muhammad abduhu wa rasulah amma ba'd. Qala Allahu ta'ala fi Qur'anil Majid wa la in shakartum la azidannakum. 327 years ago, the first Muslims arrived on the shores of South Africa. Over 300 years ago, the Dutch had conquered what is today known as Indonesia. And a young prince who was also a alim, a scholar of his religion, by the name of Sheikh Yusuf, he led a rebellion against the Dutch. Qadarullah, the rebellion failed. He was captured, he was enslaved, and to prevent him from influencing the people of the islands, he was shipped off with 40 of his family and followers to the coast of the Cape in South Africa. And he was sent to live on a farm so that he would have no influence on anybody. It was the Qadar of Allah that this incident marked the beginning of Islam in this land. And it was from that farm, in the Cape, amongst the slaves, that Islam began to spread. And the first Muslim community was established in South Africa. Today is Heritage Day in South Africa. It's a day when people celebrate the diversity of cultures and religions in this country. And I think for us as Muslims, it's a good opportunity for us to reflect on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in this country. Because very often, we get so caught up in complaining about everything that's wrong with our country that we forget about the good that we have. So inshallah today, our first khutbah will focus on all of the blessings that we as South African Muslims share. So we can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that if you are grateful, I will give you more. So if we are grateful for everything that Allah has blessed us with in South Africa, He will continue to bless the community of South Africa and give us even more. The second khutbah, inshallah, will focus on what can be done to make things even better. Because no community is perfect, and no land is perfect, and there is always room for improvement. Alhamdulillah, Islam has been in this land for over 300 years. And in this part of the land, in Durban and the surrounding areas, for over 100 years. There is both good and bad in that. The good is that we are an established community with a lot of blessings that you will not find anywhere else in the world. And we take these blessings for granted. The bad is that for some reason we have stalled in our growth. You see, when you look at Muslims when they first arrive in a land anywhere else in the world, there is a very quick increase in the number of Muslims in that land. South Africa, we are 3% of the community, at least according to official statistics. I have a feeling it's much more than that. Right, because without including all the immigrants who may not be accounted for, all the converts who may not officially have changed their religion on their documents, right? So it may be more than that. But 3% is the official number. For us to be 3% after 300 years is a very small growth. If you look at how fast Islam grew in what is today Malaysia and Indonesia, how fast it grew in Andalusia, in Islamic Spain, how fast it is growing. In the US or in the UK, understand that somewhere down the line, there's something we may have done wrong. So let's start off, inshallah, by looking at what is right and thanking Allah for that. And then we look at what we can improve on and how we can improve on these things, inshallah. I want us to take a look at six things that are blessings for us in South Africa that we may take for granted. And for each of these things, I want us to actively thank Allah, to feel shukr in our hearts and to say Alhamdulillah with our tongues. So that our existence in this land becomes an existence of shukr or gratitude. Number one, we thank Allah that despite the fact that we are only 3% of the population, we have a very strong presence in this country. What do I mean by a strong presence in this country? Everywhere you go, on every level of society, Muslims are present. From the government to the sports stars, from TV to religious discourse. For the humanitarian work, most of it is headed by Muslims. Wherever you go, you will see Muslims front and center. Muslims are seen as part of this community. That we aren't strangers, we aren't foreigners, we are part of South Africa. And we thank Allah for that. And we thank Allah that despite the fact that we are few in number, we are strong in our presence. And that Muslims are able to get into any position that they work hard to get into. And we say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for the strong presence of Islam in this country. Number two, we thank Allah for the abundance of halal food and halal everything else in this country. Again, this is something we take for granted. In this neighborhood alone, we have dozens of halal butcheries, bakeries, restaurants, and takeaways. And we take this for granted. We think this is a norm. We think anywhere you go in the world, you're going to find this. You're not. You're not going to find this anywhere in the world. There are many lands with a similar amount of Muslims as South Africa, where it is very difficult to get hold of a halal butcher or a Muslim-owned farm. We take these things for granted. And yes, we have problems in this area. We have too many halal bodies fighting over whether something is halal or not, why it has his certificate and not my certificate. I think this is a good problem. The fact that we have so much halal food means people are actually fighting over, you know, who certified it as halal, compared to other countries where you can't even find a single restaurant with a halal certificate. And so we're actually on the better side there. So we thank Allah for this. You know how easy Allah has made our lives by allowing us to have this much access to halal food. In other communities, they have to have discussions on whether they can eat the meat of Ahlul Kitab. Not because of a purely fiqh reason, but because of necessity. Because they don't have Muslim butchers. They don't have Muslim farms. They have to have these discussions. We don't even need to raise this discussion because we are surrounded by Muslim farms and Muslim butchers and Muslim restaurants. And we must thank Allah for this. This is a gift from Allah that we take for granted. The access we have to halal in this country is amazing. Everywhere you go, on the most, you know, sometimes you go to an extreme one, that on the most minute of items, there's a halal stamp. And this is the only country in the world where you're going to find halal stamps on toothpicks. I don't know why a toothpick needs a halal stamp, but we have it there. It's just the thoroughness of our community. Halal is everywhere. Number three, we thank Allah for our freedom of religion. The fact that this country has a heritage day where we celebrate our freedom of religion and our diversity of cultures, you know, it shows how strong this is a part of the local community. That this is something that makes South Africa unique. The level of freedom of religion that Muslims have in this country, we won't find it in many Muslim countries, leave alone non-Muslim countries. That we are free here to be ourselves, to practice whatever understanding of Islam we have. That you can deliver a khutbah without somebody monitoring it, you know, without somebody pre-approving the script. That you can walk in the street with a hijab and no one's going to look at you like you're weird. You can walk in the street with a big beard, no one's going to look at you like you're weird. Muslims have freedom and they have a level of dignity in this community where people do not treat us badly for being Muslim. That'll take me to another point that I'll come to a bit later, the lack of Islamophobia. But we must thank Allah for our freedom of religion, because this is something, this is one of those blessings that if you take it for granted, it can be taken away overnight. If we take this for granted, it can be taken away overnight. This has happened in many, many parts of the world. There are many parts of the world where people had freedom of religion. A new government comes into power, and that new government doesn't believe in freedom of religion. And overnight, all of those blessings are taken away. We ask Allah to protect us from that ever happening. That whatever governments come into power in the future, may they be better for the entire country, for the entire community, and for the Muslims as well. That we don't need to sacrifice our freedom of religion to see this country develop. Inshallah, we can have both. So we thank Allah for our freedom of religion. With freedom of religion, we also thank Allah for our freedom of speech. Freedom of speech You can walk on the streets and do da'wah, no one's going to stop you. You can talk about Sharia, no one's going to say anything. You can mention the word jihad, nothing's going to happen to you. Right? We have freedom of speech. We don't have people checking our khutbahs and pre-approving it and making sure it's written exactly as they want. In some countries, you cannot have halakas. You cannot organize a lecture and expect people to show up. You have to get government approval. The government has to know who's giving the lecture, when, where, what's the topic, a full write-out, and only if it suits them, they will approve of it. There are many countries like that. We have complete freedom of speech. We can criticize Israel from the mimbar with no consequences. It's very hard to get that in the world. Very, very hard. And we thank Allah we have freedom of speech. And we ask Allah to allow us to use that freedom of speech to spread the message of Islam, to spread the truth, and to spread justice. We must utilize these blessings in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth blessing that we have related to this is with our strong presence, with our freedom of religion, with our freedom of speech, we also have very little Islamophobia. To be honest, we as African Muslims didn't even know the word Islamophobia until we were exposed to the Muslim communities of the UK and the US. We don't deal with the problems they have to deal with. You know, when we travel through airport security in South Africa, we met with a smile. You know, they smile, they welcome us, they stamp our passport, they send us through. Travel to the UK or USA and see what the experience is like. Walk around with a hijab in some neighborhoods in other countries and see what the experience is like. We are very grateful to Allah that He has blessed us to live in a land where the average person does not hate us for being Muslim. Rather, many, many people, wherever I go, I meet people who are grateful to see a Muslim, who feel safe around Muslims. I mean, think about what happened a few months ago, yeah, right? When all these problems were happening in South Africa a few months ago, and the Muslims were out there protecting their neighborhoods, people weren't scared to see Muslims with guns and big beards. People were grateful to see Muslims with guns and big beards because they know they can trust us, because we are part of this community. And there is no Islamophobia. So there was that working together, that people trusted each other. In a land of Islamophobia, you're not going to have that level of trust. So we thank Allah that we don't experience Islamophobia on a daily basis as it is in other countries. And finally, the last blessing I want us to thank Allah for, and this is something we take for granted. This is something we take for granted. Our access to ilm, our access to Islamic knowledge. Here in South Africa, we have, across the country, we have masajid, we have Islamic centers, we have Islamic institutes, we have Islamic bookstores. And we don't just have that, but we have complete freedom. We can sell any Islamic book in our bookstores. In many countries, including many Muslim countries, the government has to approve which books are imported into the land or published in the land, and they only do so if it suits their propaganda or their understanding of Islam. We have freedom when it comes to this. We have access to Islamic books that you can't find anywhere else in the world. This sheer variety we have. Even on the internet, there are many countries that restrict which website you can go to. But we have access to any Islamic website we want to learn our religion from. We have access to ilm, especially in the last 10 to 20 years, that is unprecedented. And yes, this is a blessing we share with many other countries. But we must thank Allah for it. We must thank Allah for it, because if we had been a different government, they could have restricted our internet usage. They could have restricted, you know, what Islamic books are allowed in this country. They could have restricted whether we have halakas or allowed to do da'wah, or whether we are allowed to run Islamic centers or not. They could have done so. But this country has given us freedom. And so yes, there are a lot of problems in South Africa, as they are everywhere else in the world. And yes, there's a lot that we can work on to improve upon. But there is also a lot to be grateful for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if you are grateful, I will give you more. So when we focus on the things we are grateful for, and we express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us a people with a strong presence, for giving us freedom of religion, for giving us freedom of speech, for protecting us from Islamophobia, for giving us access to ilm, for giving us access to halal. If we thank Allah for all of this, these blessings will increase, they will grow, they will reach more people, and they will continue. And so we ask Allah to make us from those who are grateful and not from those who are ungrateful. We ask Allah to make us from people who use His blessings in a way that is pleasing to Him, and that we do not abuse it and use it for sin. We ask Allah to make us from the people of Iman and guidance. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We have a lot to be grateful for, but we also have a lot to work on. And I'm going to mention four things that we need to work on as a community. And inshallah, these four things, they will be topics of future khutbahs, right? So I'm going to expand upon it, specifically points 3 and 4 in future khutbahs. But understand that there is no such thing as a perfect land or a perfect community. Even historically, many of us, we glorify the good old days, right? And we forget that the good old days also had their problems. There was never a time where everything was perfect. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had to deal with a war on apostasy because of the amount of people who apostated in his time. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had to deal with a plague, a pandemic in his time, and a drought. And he was murdered in the masjid while praying Salatul Fajr. Usman radiallahu anhu had to deal with rebellions. Ali radiallahu anhu had to deal with civil war. The point is, no matter where you live and when you live, there will always be problems. So when we point out the problems in our community, we shouldn't take it personally. We should just realize these are the tests and challenges that Allah has given us that we need to work upon to try and improve as a community. And I believe there are four things we can do to help Islam grow in this country. You see, this is a topic I think about very often. Why are we stuck at the 3% margin? Why are we not growing beyond 3%? And I think there's four things we can do to help us grow beyond that. Number one is we need to play a bigger role in helping our communities. Not just Muslims, but everybody. We need to be at the forefront of helping South Africa reach its full potential. This is a beautiful country. This is a country that is abundant in resources. This is a country that is abundant in human resources. This is a country that has the potential to be great. But, you know, there's so much time spent in fighting each other and complaining and looking at what's wrong with it. We don't ever take time to think of how can we grow, how can we improve, how can we make this a better land. And as Muslims, we need to be at the forefront. Alhamdulillah, in some ways we are. The main humanitarian organizations in this country are run by Muslims, alhamdulillah. But all of us need to play a role. Everybody should do what they can to help their communities. Everybody should do what they can to eliminate at least some level of poverty and unemployment in this country. We know the problems that grip South Africa. The unemployment, the poverty, the corruption, the crime. These are genuine problems that need to be worked on. We have to work together with everybody else to solve them. We cannot cut ourselves off and live in small Muslim-only neighborhoods and ignore everybody else. We have to be part of society and we have to be of benefit to society. And people need to see that the Muslims are there for them. Alhamdulillah, sometimes we are, sometimes we are not. But we can improve on this. And we can grow in this, and we can play a bigger role in this, inshallah. Number two, we need to put more emphasis on da'wah. We need to put more emphasis on ensuring that the message of Islam reaches the majority of South Africans. And there are two ways to do this. Number one, what everybody can do is to be a role model of this religion. When people interact with us, they must see Islam. They must see the beauty of Islam. They must fall in love with Islam because of our character, because of our morals, because of our dignity, because of our manners, because of the way we treat people, because of our spirituality, because of our relationship with our Creator. And yes, this means working on ourselves first. That we need to become the type of people that when others interact with us, they want to become Muslims. They want to have the same spirituality we have. They want to have the same purpose in life that we have. They want to have the same peace of mind that we have. They want to have that barakah of Islam in their lives because they see it in ours. And everyone can do this. Everyone can work to be at a level where they are a role model of Islam to others. This is how Islam spread in many lands. We all know the famous story of how Islam spread in what is today Malaysia, Indonesia. Muslim traders went over there, they intermarried into the community, they did their business with justice, they represented Islam in their character, and slowly but surely that became a majority Muslim land. Why can't that happen in South Africa? It's very much possible. If it happened in that part of the world, if it happened in Spain, it can happen in South Africa. It can happen in South Africa. It's up to us that we represent Islam in our character and our manners and our spirituality. The other part of the da'wah that we need to focus on as a community is getting the message of Islam out there. Islam has so much to offer to the people of South Africa. Islam brings hope. Islam brings purpose. Islam brings guidance on how to deal with the immoralities of our time. Islam brings inner peace. Islam improves your mental health. There are so many people out there looking for the purpose of life. There are so many people out there trying to find a solution for the internal and spiritual problems. There are so many people out there confused by all the different ideas being thrown at them, trying to find out what's the truth. Are we showing them what Islam has to offer? Are we showing them the truth of Islam, the beauty of Islam, the purpose of Islam, the purpose of life that Islam gives you? Are we pushing this message out there so more people can see it and more people can embrace it and more people can experience the beauty and the truth and the inner peace that comes with being a Muslim? The third thing that we need to focus on, and this will be a topic of a separate khutbah inshallah, because this is something we need to discuss in details. The third thing we need to focus on are the young Muslims, the iman of the young Muslims, specifically Muslims who are teenagers and in their 20s. You see, while we are stalling in terms of percentage, in terms of the heart, we have a crisis that we don't talk about. There are many people in our community who don't go to the masjid anymore. There are many people in our community who have doubts about Islam. There are those who have secretly left Islam. There are those who have openly left Islam. And we are not doing enough to reach out to them and to help people deal with their doubts, and to help people establish a connection with their Creator. We need to change the way we reach out to the youth of Islam. We need to give them spaces where they can express their doubts without being judged, where we can address it from a pure intellectual perspective and show them the truth of Islam intellectually. You see, a lot of people need to go through this journey. A lot of people need to go to the journey where they ask the question and you give the answer and think about it, and they go from being a Muslim by birth to being a Muslim by conviction. They need to go through that journey. But many a times we don't allow them to go through that journey. The first time a question comes out of their mouth, we shut them up and we tell them, don't ask questions like that. The questions stay and the questions grow and it affects their iman. We have to change our approach to dealing with the youth. If we want them to represent Islam, if we want Islam to be a part of their lives, if we want Islam to be in their hearts the way it is in our hearts, then something needs to change in the way we are reaching out to them. And inshallah, we'll have a separate khutbah about that in the future. The final point, and this also will be a topic of a separate khutbah, is we have to, this is necessary, this is what every other point is dependent upon. We have to develop a South African fiqh. We have to do this. We have been clinging to foreign understandings of Islam for too long. One of the reasons why Islam is not growing in this country is that the majority of non-Muslims in this country see Islam as an Indian religion. And they see converting to Islam as joining the Indian culture. And this is a problem that we have created. Islam, which started in the deserts of Arabia and spread to the Najashi of North Africa, long before it reached India, it somehow perceived of as an Indian religion in South Africa because of our mistakes. It is our fault that it's perceived of as an Indian religion. It was in Africa before it was in India. What did we do wrong? Our forefathers came to this land 100 years ago. When they came, alhamdulillah, they brought Islam and they established Islamic centers. But they made some mistakes as well. They brought a lot of their baggage with them. You know, South African Indian Muslims are still fighting over things that they were fighting over 150 years ago in India that the people in India have moved on from. I have traveled to 5 different cities in India, and the majority of communities I have met there have moved on from these issues. They're not fighting about these same issues, not even discussing these same issues. But we in South Africa, we're still fighting about it as if it's a matter of truth and falsehood and kufr and iman. You know, we're still divided on these lines of Indian sectarianism, where every Muslim who joins Islam in South Africa has to join one of the Indian sects. And they have to dress like they're from India, and they have to embrace Indianized Islam. No, we have to develop a South African fiqh. And yes, this is a topic for a separate khutbah. This is something that has to come from the ulama. And the ulama of this land have to sit down and discuss what is a necessary part of our religion, what is Indian culture, where are we allowed to embrace South African culture, how can we find a fiqh that is suitable to the masses of South Africa. And I believe that will be the tipping point. That will be the tipping point. When the average South African begins to see Islam as a South African religion, that is the day that we will see the masses enter into Islam. That is the day when you will see people enter into Islam in large numbers. Because they will no longer see this as a foreign religion, but they will see it as their religion. Wherever Muslims went in the world, they developed the fiqh based on that land. Right? And this is a very complicated topic that we will go into inshallah in future. We did discuss it in the past. But this is what the Muslims did. When they went to Syria, they adapted to the culture of the land. When they went to Spain, they adapted to the culture of the land. When they went to the Malay Islands, they adapted to the culture of the land. When our forefathers came to South Africa, we isolated ourselves, kept our Indian culture, and we ended up not adapting to the culture of the land. We have to figure out what areas we can, what areas we can't, how can we form a local understanding of Islam that is suitable to the average South African, that they will be willing to understand, and that will be practical on a daily level. So these are the things that we can focus on, inshallah, and we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to do so, that we have a lot of things to be grateful for in South Africa. But if we want to grow, if we want to see Islam thrive in this land and become, you know, a force of good in this land and a means of guidance for the majority of people in this land, we have to improve and update our fiqh. We have to reach out to our youth with new methods of dawah. We have to reach out to the non-Muslims of this land with dawah and representing Islam in our actions. And we have to serve our community and be part of the community. If we do these things, then inshallah, Islam will grow in this land and continue to thrive in this land. We ask Allah to make us from the people of guidance and to protect us from being a means of misguidance to anyone. Allahumma ja'alna hadiya mahdiya, Allahumma ja'alna hadiya mahdiya, Allahumma ja'alna hadiya mahdiya. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Subhana rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Aqimus salat.